The general subject is the gospel. And in order for you to, those who do not join the meeting yesterday, I want to give you the brief review of what we have been shared last night. In the Bible, there have been 114 times mentioned the word gospel. We have gospel of God, gospel of the Son of God, Amen. Gospel of peace, Amen. Gospel of love, Amen. Gospel of grace, Amen. And gospel of God.
Amen.
We have so many aspects of gospel, but we only choose 5 aspects of the gospel. The first aspect we choose is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Why? Because when Lord Jesus came to preach the gospel, what did he say? He said, repent. For what? For the kingdom of God has drawn near. You know, there's a principle in the Bible that is called the first mention principle. Everything which has been first mentioned in the Bible, that set the principle, set the tune for that truth. So when the Lord Jesus, he preached the gospel, he did not mention, oh, this is the gospel of love, this is the gospel of peace. He mentioned, this is the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
This is the first message we mentioned. And the second message, we mentioned the gospel of the grace, gospel of grace. Toward the end of Paul's ministry, he said that I do not consider my life as precious, but I just want to finish my ministry, which is the gospel of grace preached to you. So that is toward the very end of Paul's ministry. You know that in a place called Miletus, he invited the elders from Ephesus to come to Miletus and give them some solemn word. And what did Paul describe the entire ministry in his life? He did not say other aspect of the gospel. He said he preached the gospel of the gospel of grace. So this is the second aspect of the gospel we have been shared yesterday. And last night, Brother Lin gave us a marvelous message concerning the structure of the gospel. The structure. If the building do not have a strong structure, then this building will be collapsed. Yesterday, while I walked from the rear stairs to my house, I noticed that the beam in this building, do you know how thick it is? It is this thick. The whole iron, this thick. That holds this meeting hall. Otherwise, we have several hundred of saints jumping up and down, and how come the building cannot collapse? Because we have a strong structure. So what is the structure of the Bible? 3 things. What is the first thing? The righteousness of God. And what is the second aspect? The life of Christ. And what is the third aspect? The faith of the believers. Some people, they only know the righteousness of God. This structure is not complete. Some people, they only know the faith. This structure is also not complete. But for us, we have the most strong, we have the strongest structure. We have the righteousness of God. We have the life of Christ. But we also have the faith of the believers which substantiate what God has done for us. So this is the third message we have been shared yesterday. So this morning we are going to share message 4, Paul's gospel, the gospel of completion. Actually, while brothers want to nail down this topic, he really spent some time to consider before the Lord. For example, why do you put the message of gospel of glory? The gospel of glory is something really important, right? But he did not put the gospel of glory or even the gospel of life, but he put the gospel of completion, because this matter is not so familiar with us today. Especially many new ones who come to the church life after 1980s, probably you do not know the complete gospel of God. And before I mention this, I want to pose a question for you.
We call this Paul's gospel. Did Paul ever write the gospel book? We have four gospels, right? What are the four gospels? First is Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John. Do you have the fifth gospel called the Gospel of John? No. You cannot find this term in the Bible. But actually, we have the gospel of Paul's gospel. In the book of Life Study, in the book of Romans, Brother Wednesday haven't mentioned that the book of Romans is called the fifth gospel. The fifth gospel. So, no wonder we use the title that this is the gospel is a gospel of Paul, Paul's gospel. Actually, if you look at the Bible, Paul is the one who mentioned this word, gospel, most among the authors in the New Testament epistles. Peter only used the word gospel in his epistle two times. John also used the word gospel two times toward the very end of his book, Revelation. But Paul used the term gospel many, many times. In Romans 1:1, he said, I'm Paul the apostle, separate unto what? Unto the gospel of God. Right? And at the end of the book of Romans, he mentioned that my gospel. My gospel. This is mine. Different from Peter. Different from John. Different from James. This is my gospel. So, oh, Paul, you are too bold. How can you claim that this is my gospel? Isn't that Peter's gospel? It's not a Peter's gospel and John's gospel. Now, why you mention this is my gospel? Well, there's a reason. I will explain to you later. Okay, so if you want to know why we mention Paul's writing is Paul's gospel, we had to know what is the definition of the gospel. What the definition of the gospel? People always thought that, oh, gospel is that because I'm a sinner, I'm so miserable, so one day God become a man, die on the cross to redeem us, and then they say that this is the gospel. Of course, this is not wrong. But this kind of realization of the gospel is very shallow. In the book of Ephesians 1:13, we read yesterday, Paul mentioned that you have heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. These two phrases, the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, these two phrases are apposition, which means they are equal. So, what is the gospel? The gospel is a complete truth revealed in the Bible. So, from this point of view, you can realize that no wonder we said Paul's gospel, because Paul unveiled the major truths in the Bible. The book of Matthew is basically revealed that the kingdom, this method of kingdom. And the book of Matthew, Mark, has basically revealed that Christ is a servant who serves us. And the Gospel of Luke emphasizes the gospel of repentance. You have to repent in order that your sin will be forgiven. And the Gospel of John emphasizes the eternal life. He came so that we may have life and may have life abundantly. Amen. This is what John emphasis in the book of John. But if you look at the book, the epistles written by Paul, you will find something which has been not included in these four gospels. In order for us to know how the Paul's epistles is so unique, let's come to read Rome numeral 1 together. We in the Lord's recovery need to have a clear view of Paul's gospel according to all. The reason why Paul can say that my gospel, this is my gospel, because he realized His gospel is very different from what Peter, John, and James was preaching. And this matter is built based upon Paul's conversion to become a Christian is very different from what Peter, James, and John been saved. It's very different. He received directly the revelation from the law. Based on the work in the book of Galatians, we know that while Paul was on the road to Damascus to arrest the disciples, a great light shined on him, and he got saved. And after he got saved, he did not converse with blood and flesh. He went to Arabia for a certain period of time. Then he went back to Damascus. So this is the origin of how Paul received the gospel, or how he saved. You know how did Peter and John been saved? It is on one day when they are on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus come to them and say, "Come, follow him. Come, follow me." So they follow Jesus. This is the way of their salvation. And this way of salvation is much easier for us to understand. This way of salvation is simple. And this way of salvation is saved by the earthly Christ. But Paul's salvation is very different. Paul was directly saved by the law. Paul was directly saved from the heaven. Of course, I'll give you some sidebar. Do not too much put this emphasis on, "Oh, I directly received from the law." No, nowadays, many people like to claim that, "Oh, I directly received a vision from the law. Oh, I received a vision that there will be an earthquake. Oh, I received a revelation there will be a tornado. Oh, I received a revelation there is an economic collapse." Don't be too sure of your directly received the law, because most of the time, it is wrong. Today, we not only need to receive the revelation from the law, we have to also fellowship with the body. If you claim that you receive something from the law, you must check with Bill. Bill, is this the revelation from the law or something from Satan? I'm not so sure, right? You better check with Bill, with Jen, whether this revelation is really from the law or just your own imagination. But anyhow, Paul's revelation is very unique because he got saved directly from the law. Why? The law need to save Paul. I tell you, there's a very deep reason. Peter and John and James, they indeed preach the gospel. But the one they preach are mostly sinner and worldly people. But could they preach the gospel to Paul? Paul is an upright, integrate, and zealous religionist. Can Peter and Paul preach this gospel to this kind of person? It's impossible. Only one can do this thing. That is God himself. Amen. Only God can bring this kind of people. Integrity, zealous, pious, without any blemish, more advanced than his peers. Only God can bring this kind of people safe. And the reason God wants to bring these people safe is very deep. I tell you, there are two ministries for the Lord Jesus. One is his earthly ministry, and the other is heavenly ministry. The earthly ministry was mainly recorded in the four gospels, and the heavenly ministry was recorded from Acts chapter 2. That began the Lord's heavenly ministry. But if you look at Acts chapter 2 until chapter 9, you see they are not much advanced in the Lord's heavenly ministry. The content which Paul, Peter preached is not much different from the four gospels. Until Paul came, there is a dramatic change that the apostolic ministry can coordinate with the heavenly ministry. And how did Paul got saved? Very simple. On the way for him to Damascus, he received a light shining on him, and the voice from heaven said to him, "Paul, Saul, Saul, why you persecuted me?" I tell you, Paul knows the Old Testament. He knows that this voice coming from heaven, this is something extraordinary. He said, "Saul, Saul, why you persecuted me?" Maybe Saul may think that, "Oh, I only persecute Stephen, I only persecute John, I only persecute James. I never persecuted a person in the heaven. How can you persecute a person in the heaven?" So he asked him, "Lord, Lord, who are you? Who are you?" And this boy told him, "I am Jesus, whom you persecuted." I tell you, Paul may even think more about this answer. He said, "Jesus, Jesus, isn't that Jesus has been crucified several, I don't know how long, several times ago? Isn't that Jesus has been died and put in the tomb? How can that, this boy said, you persecuted me?" And also, why this boy said that you persecuted me? Paul may think that I only persecuted Saul, Peter, and James, and John, and Stephen. I didn't persecute Jesus. How come I persecuted one of his disciples, and he said, you persecuted me? That must be. This me is not just a single me. This me has been enlarged into a corporate me. So, for Paul's entire life, he must use 14 epistles to unzip. You know, if you have a file which is very big, you have to zip it, and if you receive it, you have to unzip. These two sentences too short, but it's caused Paul using his entire life to expound, to unzip what it has been revealed. I tell you, without the ministry of Paul, we only have a very little knowledge about what the Bible is talking about. There are many, many comparisons, but I just give you 3 points. First, Paul said that Christ lives in you, and Christ is your life supply, and Christ is your everything. This point, the other author in the New Testament has never been mentioned. John indeed mentioned in John chapter 15 that I am you and you in me. He indeed mentioned that. But how did the Lord live in us? It is impossible unless he becomes the life-giving spirit. Amen. And live in our spirit and transform our tripartite man so that he can live in us and we can live in him, right? So without the explanation of Paul, we don't know that Christ can live in us, and Christ can be one with us, and he can be our life supply, right? The first aspect. Second aspect. Peter, John, and James never mentioned that this Christ, after being crucified and resurrected, has become the life-giving spirit. And this life-giving spirit too has become an all-inclusive one for us to enjoy. The book of four Gospels mainly recorded what the Lord Jesus has been done, what he has been said on the earth. But who this Christ is? If you ask Peter, who is Christ? He said, "Oh, this Christ, very good. He can feed us 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Oh, this Jesus, very good. He can walk on the water. He can calm down the wind and the water. This Jesus, very good." But if you wonder, who is Jesus? Who is this man? Peter maybe cannot say too much. But I tell you, in the epistles of Paul, Paul speaks a lot concerning the person of Christ. Right? In the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, "This Christ is our Passover lamb. He's our feast. Amen. He's the first fruit. He's the light giving spirit. There are 20 items of riches in the book of 1 Corinthians, right? There are many, many riches. And if you go to the book of Colossians, who is Christ? He's the firstborn of all creation.
Amen.
He's the head of the body.
Amen.
He's the content of the new man.
Amen.
He's our good land.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So rich.
Amen.
So without Paul's epistle, we only have a very limited understanding of who Christ is. But praise the Lord. We have Paul. Hallelujah. The Catholicism, they exalted Paul, Peter. But in the Lord's recovery, we love Paul very much. If you go to Taiwan, there are many brothers who name themselves Paul. Not many people. Brothers are very like, oh, I'm Paul, I'm Moses. Very few brothers like to name their name Peter. So we love Peter. We love Paul. Why? Because in Paul's epistle, it gives us a revelation of who Christ is. The third point, never mentioned in the four epistles, that is, Christ is the head, the church is the body. Never mentioned. John do mention that he is the vine and we are the branches. That's a similar expression. But John never saw that Christ is the head and we are the body. Peter never mentioned that. If you ask Brother Peter, Brother Peter, do you know Christ is the head, we are the body? Peter may ask, what are you talking about? When I'm on the earth, I never heard of such a thing. The Lord Jesus only said, feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep, right? The Lord Jesus told Peter that I'm the head and you are the body? No. So you ask Peter, oh, Brother Peter, you know that Brother Paul said, he is the head and we are the body. Peter may say, I don't know what you are talking about. Right? So, praise the Lord. We have Brother Peter. Amen. So, this is the first point I want to explain for Rome number 2. Let's come to Rome number 2 to read together. Amen. The gospel. The Christ. Nothing. Oh, please pay attention to the center of God's New Testament revelation. If you just mention God loves us, that is very good, but that is not the center. You just say that, oh, Christ has accomplished his judicial redemption for us, that's also very good, but that is not the center. That is not the complete story. What the center? A said, Paul's gospel is a revelation of the triune God process to become the all-inclusive life-giving spirit.
Amen.
This is the center. The center. If you look at the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew is on the kingdom. What is kingdom? The kingdom is the administration of God. But the administration of God is not the whole story. The whole story is that God went through a process and become the life-giving spirit and live in our spirit so that we may become his increase, to become his duplication and become his expression. That is the center. And this matter only been revealed by Brother Paul. So we read point B and C together. Amen. Paul's gospel is center of the triune God being our life in order that one with us and to make us one with him so that he may be the body of Christ, to express Christ in a corporate way. See, the focal point of God's gospel is God himself in his Trinity become the process all-inclusive spirit to be life and everything to us, to be our enjoyment, so that he and we can. Brothers and sisters, treasure this word. Treasure this word. You cannot hear this kind of word from anywhere. Only in the Lord's recovery, we emphasize Paul's complete ministry. Do we understand, oh, this is a focus, this is the center of the Bible. Suppose Paul did not get saved. So what do we have? We have 39 books of the Old Testament, plus the four Gospels, and some epistles. What will we have? We lack of many things, right? We lack that Christ become the life-giving spirit. We lack that the Christ is the head when we are the body. We lack that Christ is the all-inclusive one. So no wonder we need to emphasize Paul's complete gospel. We use the word complete. Wow. It's nice, right? This is a wheel. A wheel composed a hub, and also the spoke, and also eventually it becomes the circumference, right? Yeah. This is a hole. This is a wheel. This is called completion. Amen. All this spoke speak of the different aspect of the Bible, of the gospel. Some speak of the grace, some speak of love, some speak of life, some speak of kingdom, some speak of forgiveness. But until Paul, we had a complete gospel. Complete. Not any shortage, not any lacking. No wonder in the book of Colossians, Paul said he became the minister to complete the word of God. Please consider this picture. We need the whole thing, right? If we only had the gospel of Matthew, we may say, we are a sinner, we need to regenerate and to enter into the kingdom of God, right? And if we only had the book of Mark, we may know that, we need to repent so that our sin can be forgiven. And if we only have a gospel of John, we may only know that, we must receive eternal life so that we can become his increase and expression. But without Paul's ministry, there's no completion. This wheel may have only four spokes, which is not very solid. But by Paul's complete gospel, we have many spokes. We have the life Adam begin the life spirit, spirit. We have a Christ as a hand, we are the body. We have a all-inclusive Christ. We have a Christ is the firstborn of all creations. We have this, we have that. Hallelujah, we have the completion. This is what Paul wants to say to us. Okay. So, please read Romans 3. Paul's gospel. The gospel is a calling to God. Amen. Paul's gospel is a proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Amen. Here's a word called proclamation. Proclaim. Proclamation. Do you know what does this word proclaim means? I'm not so sure, so I'll look at the dictionary. He said that this proclamation is to proclaim somebody something gladly and proudly. You had a product, which is very good. Today, I'm proudly introduce my company's product to you. This is proclaim. So when Lord Jesus come, he do not proclaim the gospel in a shy way. You are a sinner. You are so bad. You need Jesus, you need salvation. No, he do not speak in this way. Both Paul, both Jesus, they proclaim proudly. Come here, good news, great tidings. Come all the world. There's a good news for you. This is to proclaim. 2 years ago, I went to Lafayette, where Purdue University is. I was told there's a professor in Purdue University. During the noontime, he put a small box and stand on the box and proclaim to the student, "Student, come here to receive Jesus." There's such kind of person in Purdue University. So today, we all need to become this kind of person. Amen. Need to go to Six Corner. Proclaim. Amen. Proclaim. Amen. David Dunn once told us that at the very beginning for the migration to Chicago, they always went to Michigan Avenue and to proclaim. Some stand in this side of the street, and another stand on this side of the street and say, "May I have your attention, please? Jesus is the Lord." Amen. Jeff, did you went there that time?
We have trumpets.
The sound of trumpet. Even wear the gospel robe, right? This is to proclaim. Today we need to proclaim. Not to speak the gospel in a shy way. No, we need to proclaim. May I have your attention, please? Jesus is the Lord. Crying is victor. This is to proclaim. Amen. Okay, read A. B. Well, okay. Yesterday, we found a word called a pure gospel. This has been used by Paul. He preached the full gospel. And you may ask, what is the meaning of pure or for full? Full means pure, which means complete. Now nearby Chicago, there's a place called Wheaton College. They have a very famous museum called Billy Graham Museum. And if you went there to have a tour, you will find out our dear brother Billy Graham, he preached much about the gospel of grace, right? That's for sure. He also preached the gospel of peace, right? That's for sure. He also preached the gospel of redemption. Right? But did he preach that we need to enter into the kingdom of God? Did he preach that we need Paul's complete gospel? According to our knowledge, he didn't do that. So today, we have an obligation. We have a responsibility. We must put the pure gospel. And what is a pure gospel? Pure gospel is a full gospel, including every aspect of the gospel, the complete gospel. Amen. Amen. See, let's read together. The gospel according to the revelation of the gospel. Amen. According to the revelation of the mystery, please pay attention to the word mystery. Amen. There are many mysteries in the universe. The universe itself is a mystery. And even our human body is a mystery. We have many medical doctors here. If you ask him, they will tell you, our human body is a mystery. But compared with the greatest mystery, this mystery are not considered as a mystery. They are very simple. So there are two greatest mystery in the universe. What is that? That is the mystery of God. And what is the mystery of God? The mystery of God is Christ. God is invisible. God is unapproachable. God is untouchable. But when you see Christ, you see God. You touch Christ, you touch God. You enjoy Christ, you enjoy God. Amen. Christ is the mystery of God. This is the first mystery. And the second mystery is the mystery. The Christ himself is also a mystery. And what the mystery of Christ? The mystery of Christ is the church.
Amen.
When you come to the church, you see God. You enjoy Christ. Because the church is God manifested in the flesh. Today we are here to manifest God.
Amen.
Amen. So this is the two great mystery in the universe. Actually, in 1983, when Brother Wednesday began to have the first international Chinese speaking conference, do you know what the topic of that conference? The topic of that conference is the five greatest mystery in the universe. He talked about the mystery of the universe, the mystery of God, the mystery of man, the mystery of Christ. He talked about the five mystery in the universe. So today, praise the Lord, this mystery is not the mystery anymore. This mystery has been revealed to us.
Amen.
Okay, read Rome numeral 4. Amen. 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 So it's very easy. It's self-explanatory. Give you a short explanation. Mark revealed that he is a gospel of the kingdom. He come as a king to establish his kingdom. Just give you some reviewing. Yesterday we talked about the fundamental problem in the universe is what?
Rebellion.
It's not the sin. The rebellion. You sin because you rebel. If you are a submissive person, you never sin. The reason you sin is you rebel against the God. You rebel against your spirit. You rebel against your family members. Therefore, you sin. If you are a submissive person, you will never sin. So what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is bring us to the submissive of this very king, Lord Jesus. If we live in the kingdom of God, we become a submissive person, then we never sin, right? This is the gospel of the kingdom of Matthew. And the gospel of Luke is to the gospel of forgiveness of sin. That is obvious. And gospel of Mark is the gospel of the service. And the Lord Jesus said he come to serve and not to be served, right? He come to serve us. And the gospel of the John is a gospel of life, okay? But the gospel of Paul is a gospel of completion. So I don't want to get into the detail. All the points from Romans 4, especially on point F, is what I emphasize that the different point of Paul with all other apostles. So let's read the Rome, small point, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Together with the brother read 1 point and sister read 1 point. Brother read Rome, point 1 under capital F. Go. Paul's gospel speak of Christ being the high matters. Sister, 2. Brother, from Paul's gospel, then seal and the praise. 4. Together, the gospel Paul preached into the this book reveals the complete gospel, beginning with forgiveness of sin, passing through sanctification, transformation, and constitution of the body of Christ, and eventually at the
church life in the churches.
You know, in the book of Rome, Paul said he wants to write to the saints in Romans. He wants to write the book of Romans as a gospel to the saints in Romans. So if you ask, then Paul, Brother Paul, what do you write? to the book of Romans as a gospel book, then you will see that, oh, this gospel is not so deep, not so shallow. It consists with what? The forgiveness of sin, sanctification, transformation, confirmation, glorification, constitution of the body of Christ, and eventually the church life. This whole thing, this whole wheel, is called Paul's gospel. So today, we go to campus, we go to Peoria, we go to Normal. What do we preach? We are not just preaching, oh, sinner, you have to be saved in order to go to heaven. We preach the whole thing, the complete gospel.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is our burden. This is our duty today. Okay, let's go to Rome numeral 5. Amen. Amen. The gospel of the most praised God. Amen. This is the gospel of glory. Amen. And indeed, there's an item in the Bible called the gospel of glory. Amen. For many Christians, glory is a kind of a realm for you to enter into. It's a very bright place for you to enter into. But actually, if you enjoy Christ, you enjoy the gospel of glory. Eventually, you are not only enter into a glorious reign, but this glory will be shining out from you.
Amen.
This is the gospel of glory. Just give you some story. You know, the many years ago, while Brother Watchman began to serve the Lord, one day on the street, he bumped into one of his former professors. And this professor, this was recorded in the Normal Christian Life, chapter 10. This professor bumped into him and invited this brother Watchman Nee to a tea house. And he looked at him from top to the bottom and from the bottom to top. And he said to brother Watchman Nee, he said, oh, Mr. Nee, you have been one of the best students in our college. We all think that you have a bright future. But look at yourself. You are poor. You are sick. You don't have anything. Is that you just like this for your whole life? Watchman Nee said that. He admit that at the beginning, when he heard this word, he cannot bear it. But instantly, he feel the spirit of glory was fall upon him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is how he experienced the gospel of glory. Amen. So I just give you some foretest for the Bible, for this conference. And Brother Lin will continue to fellowship with us concerning message 5. So could you read the title of message 5 together?
This morning, my body
is not maybe up to the condition I want to be.
本来我说啊，跟那个宋弟兄讲，就请他代讲就好了。
Originally, I told by the Livingstone song, maybe you speak my message.
他说他没准备。
He said, oh, he's not well prepared for that.
那我身体来不及，也不能讲长。
So my body, even in this situation, not feeling well, but I think I still give the message.
我就点一下。
Let me point out a few things here.
这个第五篇信息是说到神福音的最高点。
The message five talk about the highest point of God's gospel.
这个感谢主啊，今天在主的恢复里，福音对我们的认识啊，是一直一直的往前。
Praise the Lord, in today's in Lord's recovery, the knowledge of the gospel is keep progressing.
不光是我们得救时的那个福音。
Not just the one we heard during our initial salvation.
我们继续需要福音。
Continuously, we need the gospel.
那李弟兄在进他执事的时候呢
？When Brother Lee ministered in his ministry,
到了1994年
，in 1994,
他是非常喜乐。
He's very joyful.
他写了那一首诗歌。
He wrote the song.
刚才我们唱的。
We just sang.
何大神机
？What a great mystery.
何神奥秘
？What a great. A miracle and one mystery.
神竟与人联调为一。
And God and man become one.
神成为人。
God become man.
人成为神。
Man become God.
天使世人破彻经纶。
It's an angel and man cannot apprehend such a mystery.
我还记得李丁那个94年二月份的华语特会。
I still remember in the February 1994 in the Chinese speaking conference.
因为他看见了这个高的真理。
Because he saw such a high truth,
就受到仇敌的攻击。
And he was attacked by the enemy.
那一次的华语特会。
In that Chinese speaking conference,
他没有进执事。
He didn't really minister.
纲要是他写的。
The outline was written by him.
诗歌也是他写的。
The hymn was written by him.
聚会前。
Before the meeting,
他出现一下。
He showed up a little bit.
说他身体来不及。
He said his body is not in good health.
就好像我今天也是来不及了。
It's just like me a little bit today.
这个李弟兄就说啊
But the lead man
这一次的华语特会就请陈慈弟兄讲
This Chinese speaking conference I'm going to ask Brother Manuro Chen to speak
那个五篇信息聚完了
After five messages
最后李弟兄又进来了
And then Brother Lee came in again
身体来不及他就坐下来
Even though his body was not feeling well he sat down
讲了三分钟的话
He spoke like 3 minutes
他说啊
He said,
今天在主的恢复里
Today is Lord's recovery.
我们所看见的神圣启示啊，达到高峰。
The God's divine revelation has reached the highest peak.
高到一个地步。
High to a point.
我们的人啊，都很难信。
Our person is really hard for us to believe.
我们这个人很难信。
It's hard for us to believe.
神成为人，这个我们没问题。
God became man, we have no problem.
人成为神。
But man become God.
我们能成为神。
Man becomes God.
难道神是要人成为神
？It's one because one man to become God.
如果你把在主的恢复里圣经节把它全部拿出来
，If in Lord's recovery put out all these verses together,
你之中你会看见。
Eventually you will see.
是的。
Yes.
神是要人在生命、性情，但不在神格上，成为与神一模一样。
God want man to become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead.
这个是出自啊，神的心爱美意。
It's from His heart's desire.
要达到神的最高目的。
What reached the highest purpose in human?
第二节说，神成肉身，
God
来做神人
，become God man.
为要使我能成为神
，One become for us to become God.
生命性情与他同类
，A life and nature is the same as He is.
唯我无份。他的神位
，But we don't have the part of His Godhead.
就是我们没有神格。
Is we don't have the Godhead.
哈利路亚。
哈利路亚。
到了第三节说
，In the third verse，
我们不再是我单独活着。
No longer I alone that live，
乃是神我共同生活。
But God together lives with me，
并与众圣神里配搭。
Built with the saints in the triune God，
建成三一宇宙之家。
His universal house will be，
且成基督生机身体。
And his organic body, we
做他显身团体大气
For his expression corporately,
神的意思不光叫我们生命性情与他一样
Not only God want us to be the same as him in life and nature,
神还要我们不要单独活
It doesn't want us to live alone,
要与众圣徒配搭连接在一起
But to live with the saints together corporately and connect together,
来建造成为神的宇宙的家
And build his universal house.
最末了，最终圣城耶路撒冷。
Jerusalem, the ultimate.
意象启示极其大成。
Of visions, the totality.
很多人把新耶路撒冷领会成基督徒将来要去的地方。
Many saints apprehend the New Jerusalem is something they are go eventually like heaven.
直到今天。
Until today.
大概99%的这个基督徒。
99% of the Christians.
还在信。你信耶稣不下地狱，信耶稣会上天堂。
Still believe that if you believe into the Lord Jesus, you won't go to the hell, you'll go to the heaven.
这个主的恢复啊，在1960年代
，In the Lord's recovery in 1960,
就已经把天堂完全打得干干净净。
We throw away the heaven totally.
都已经啊，几十年了。
How many decades have been passed?
到现在啊，还有人以为我们要上天堂。
But still today, we still have people thinking about we're going to the heaven.
最终圣城耶路撒冷。
Jerusalem, the ultimate.
意象启示极其大成。
Or vision, the totality.
什么是新耶路撒冷呢
？What is the new Jerusalem?
三一之神。
The triune God.
三部分人。
And the tripartite man.
我们知道神是三一的。
We know the God is triune.
他是父，他是子，他是灵。
His Father, His Son, His Spirit.
我们 我们人是三部分的人。
We men are tripartite men.
我们有灵、有魂、有身体。
We have spirit, we have soul, we have body.
三一之神，三部分人。
One God and tripartite man.
在新耶路撒冷，这个成了勇士的队友。
In the New Jerusalem, become the eternal couple.
新耶路撒冷是一对的队友。
The New Jerusalem is a couple.
哈利路亚。
Hallelujah.
神性、人性互为居所。
The divinity and the humanity.
神的荣耀在人显赫。
And God's glory in humanity.
这是新耶路撒冷。
This is the New Jerusalem.
整个神的经纶。
The whole God's economy.
就是借着神的经过过程。
Through the God, through all the processes.
还有人要经过种种的过程。
And man has go through the many processes.
达到神经纶的目标。
Eventually to reach the goal of God's economy.
这是神的梦。
This is God's dream.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
这一次我们来追求啊福音的最高点。
This time we study the highest point of the gospel.
我们就是要来进到神的梦里。
We want to enter into God's dream.
你的梦跟神的梦不一样。
Your dream and God's dream if not the same,
那个梦是不会应验的。
Then your dream will not be fulfilled.
你的梦要去天堂。
Your dream want to go to the heaven.
神的梦要跟你合并。
And God's dream want to be incorporated with you.
差太多了。
It's a huge difference.
是不是啊?
Is that right?
求主怜悯。
May the God have mercy on us.
我们能够进到神的梦。
We can enter into the dream of God.
进到神永远经纶的梦。
Giving to the dream of his eternal economy.
简单说，什么是神的经纶呢?
Simply speaking, what is the economy of God?
神的经纶就是神在他的三一里。
The God's economy is in his trinity.
这句话什么意思?
What does it mean?
就是父在子里成为灵。
Father in the Son and become the Spirit.
你看啊，当啊，这个化成了肉体。
When the word becomes flesh,
这个就是神成了人。
God becomes man.
等到他快要这个钉死复活的时候，
right before he crucified and go be resurrected,
他就对门徒们说，
and he spoke to the disciples,
我要求父啊，另外赐一个保惠师。
I ask for another comforter.
当他讲这一句话，
When he talk about this,
就说出他自己是保惠师。
He talk about he was the comforter.
只是他要赐给我们另一位保惠师。
But he want to give us another comforter.
叫他永远与我们同在。
So he can be with us to the end.
也要在我们的里面。
And will be stay within us.
那底下怎么说呢？
How do we say this?
主说我不撇下你们为孤儿。
Lord said that I'm not going to abandon you as an orphan.
我正往你们这里来。
I'm coming to you.
哎，他不是求父把这个灵作为保惠另一位保惠师来赐给门徒吗？
He's not asking Father to give the Spirit as a comforter to just to give it to the saints.
那他为什么后面说我正往你这里来呢？
Why he said I am coming to you?
那就说灵的来就是他的来。
You just say that the Spirit's coming is his coming.
整个神的经纶，
the whole God's economy
就是父在子里，
Father in the Son
成为灵，
become the Spirit
要将他自己分赐到他所拣选并救赎的信徒里面。
Want to dispense himself into his chosen and selected saints.
这个神没有意思啊，仅仅称义人。
God does not have the only intention to justify you only.
昨天第三篇信息我们讲，称义不过是一个手续。
In message 3, we talk about yesterday justification is just one of the process.
目标乃是得着他的生命。
The end is to gain his life.
他要将他自己神圣的生命分赐到我们里面。
He wants to dispense his divine life into us.
做我们的生命。
Become our life.
做我们生命的供应。
Become the supply of our life.
做一切。
Become everything.
然后以产生、构成并建造基督的身体。
To produce, to constitute the body of Christ.
终极完成新耶路撒冷。
And in the consummate in the New Jerusalem.
我们盼望今天在主恢复的弟兄姊妹。
I hope that all the brothers and sisters in the Lord's recovery.
宝贝这样的信息。
We treasure this kind of message.
神有这个梦。
God has a dream.
神要实现这个梦。
God want to complete his dream.
他已经经过了过程。
He go through the process.
今天他已经终极完成那里。
He already consummated the spirit.
他已经将他神圣的生命分赐到我们里面。
He already dispense his divine life into us.
他不光要分赐到我们的灵里面。
Not only dispense into our spirit.
分赐到我们的魂里面。
Dispense into our soul.
最终还要分赐到我们必死的身体里。
Eventually dispense into our mortal body.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
使我们全人与他一模一样。
So the whole person become the same as he is.
这个是神永远的经纶。
This is God's eternal economy.
这是神福音的最高点。
This is the highest point of God's gospel.
第二大点说
，The second point，
神创造我们
，God created us，
是为着要完成他的经纶
，It is for the accomplishment of His economy，
目的是要我们在生命和性情上成为神
，With the intention that we will become God in life and nature，
但无分于他的神格
，But not in the Godhead，
好成为他的彰显
，For His expression，
如果不是这个意思
，If not for this one，
神造人。为什么照着他的形象和样式造呢
？Why God created man according his likeness and after his own image？
如果我们好好去思想
，If we think about this carefully，
在神创造人的时候
，When God created man，
在神格里啊，可以说是开了一个会议了。
They have a meeting，
说我们要照着我们的形象
，We want to according with our own likeness，
和我们的样式来造人
，After our own likeness to create man。
这个是啊，第一章讲。
This is the chapter one.
那第二章
，in chapter two，
耶和华是用地上的尘土来造人。
Just Jehovah built man, used the dust on the earth.
可以说神造人啊，好像在捏泥巴。
We can say that God created man like he's making all the clay.
我们都知道，我们小的时候很喜欢的，做粘土。
We know when we were kids, we like to play with the clay.
有人粘土啊，做像狮子。
Somebody want to make a small lion.
有人把粘土啊做做像狗。
Want to make a doggy.
神那一天呢、啊、也做像神。
And God created one like God.
有一件事啊。
One thing.
我绝对信。
I really believe.
天使当看亚当被造的时候、啊。
When the angel saw Adam was created.
可能他是吓一跳。
And he got really astonished.
弟兄们。你信不信？他吓一跳。
You believe that the angel was astonished.
圣经没有交代就是、啊。
The Bible didn't say that.
你可以理会，绝对吓一跳。
I believe the angel was really astonished.
怎么这个跟神呢是一个样子
？How come the one created is the same as God is?
神为什么这样造呢
？Why God created man like this?
神在他的创造里
，in His creation，
已经决定好了。
He's determined.
人要像他。
Man need to be like him.
而且神还把人摆在生命树跟前
，and God put man in front of the tree of life，
要人呢、啊、接受生命树
，want man to receive the tree of life，
好把生命啊能够分赐到人里面
，so that life can be dispensed into the man。
可惜啊，人堕落
，but too bad man fell。
这个一堕落
，man fell，
神啊就用基路伯和四面转动发火焰的剑，把守生命树的道路。
And God used cherubim and theSwirling sword with fire to guard the way to the tree of life.
这个基路伯表征神的荣耀。
The cherubim represent God's glory.
火表征神的圣别。
And the fire represent God's holiness.
剑表征神的公义。
And those sword is His righteousness.
也就是说，人如果要接受生命
，If man want to receive life,
没有通过这个圣别荣耀。和公义的要求，人是不可以接受生命。
If the man does not fulfill this righteous requirement, he cannot receive the tree.
而且在神的公义里，神一定要定人的罪。
In God's righteousness, He has to judge man's sin.
罪的工价就是死。
The price of the sin is death.
死后且有审判。
After that, there's judgment.
但是感谢主啊
！But thank the Lord.
神一面公义，神一面爱。
God not only is righteous, He is also love.
其实，在亚当堕落的时候
，Actually in Adam's fall,
神在他的爱里已经来寻找人了。
In God's love, He already come and seek man.
已经对他说，女人的后裔要来伤蛇的。
Already said the descendant of the woman will bruise the serpent's head.
而且呢，神也用皮子给他们做衣服。
And God made a cloth using the sheep skin.
意思是说，我们天然堕落的人呐、啊，都是没有穿衣服的。
For natural fallen man, we are naked.
无法遮盖我们的羞耻。
We cannot cover our own.
感谢赞美主。
Own thing.
神的羔羊。
Praise the Lord.
一面除去世人的罪。
Not only he deal with the sin of man.
他也做了我们的遮盖。
And he became our covering.
好，那么人就可以。
So man can.
再一次的得回，啊，得着神的生命，得着神的性情。
Gain the life, God's life and His nature.
好，第三大点。
And Roman numeral 3.
一同读。
We read it together. In Christ, God and man have become one entity, the God-man.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
这个在基督里
In Christ,
神跟人已经成了一个实体。
God and man have become one entity.
就是神人。
The God-Man.
这里头纲要写得很好，我们就念下去啊。
The outline is really good. We read that. A.
直接念。
Okay. Because the Lord Jesus was conceived of the divine essence and born of the human essence, he was born a God-Man. Hence, for his being as a God-Man, he has two essences, the divine essence and the human essence.
B.
B. The conception of Holy Spirit in a human virgin constituted a mingling of the divine nature with the human nature, producing the God-Man.
C.
The one who is both the complete God and perfect man. C. That's the perfect man and the complete God. The God-Man has the nature with its virtue to contain God and express him with the divine virtue.
为什么在主的恢复里我们那么花时间要讲在基督里神跟人成了一个实体？
Why in the Lord's recovery we spend so much time to talk about God and man want to become one entity?
因为这是一个太特殊的认识。
Because this is very special.
我还很有印象。
I am very impressed.
1996年
1996
9月份国际的长老聚会
in the Italy,
李弟兄啊讲到基督丰满的知识。
Brother Lee talk about the God's ministry, the full ministry.
一开头
in the beginning,
他就要我们来认识基督。
He wants us to know Christ.
啊，认识基督要特殊的认识。
Especially know Christ.
不是一般的认识。
Not a generally knowing.
怎么样的认识叫做特殊的认识呢
？How do we have such a special knowing of Christ?
第一，你要领会他是神而人者。
He is God and man.
第二，他具有神人二性。
He has both a God's nature and human's nature.
第三，在他的人性里。借着他的死
humanity,
完成了神法理的救赎
He accomplished the judicial redemption
第四
Number four、
啊、在他的生命里
In his life
他今天在复活里正在做出他生机的救恩
In his resurrection he is doing all his organic salvation
我们所认识的基督
The Christ we know
是神
Is God
又是人
And man
是人又是神
is man and also God.
在基督还没有在地上以前
before Christ was on the earth,
宇宙中有神
in the universe there was God.
宇宙中也有人
in the universe there was man.
但是却没有一个人里面有神
but there's no man that has God within him.
唯有基督他是神人
only Christ he is God and man.
Amen. 他是神人
he's God man.
他怎么会是神人呢
how come he is a God man?
他是啊，圣灵在玛利亚的腹中承孕。
He was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Virgin Mary.
所以他就有神圣的素质。
So he has a divine essence.
他是从啊玛利亚生出来。
He was born through Virgin Mary.
所以他有人的素质。
So he has the human's essence.
在他神性跟人性，是啊，是。是连接调和的。
In him, the divinity and humanity are fully connected.
那我们为什么要强调这一件事呢
？Why do we want to stress this？
这个你看这个第四大点。
You can see the Roman numeral four.
起初圣经说到一个神人。
Initially, the Bible speaks of the God-Man.
今天这个神人已经成了众神人。
Today, this God-Man has become the God-Man.
什么意思呢
？What do we mean？
他是第一个神人。
He was the first God man.
他作为第一个神人呢，是原型。
As the first God man, he was the prototype.
我们作为众神人呢，是他的复制。
We are the many God man, his reproduction.
这个主耶稣在地上的时候
，When the Lord Jesus was on the earth,
这个有一天呢，李弟兄自己察觉到。
One day, Brother Lee find out, figured out.
这个他在人性生活里是他一个大的成就。
In his living, in his humanity was a great accomplishment.
几乎没有基督徒去留意他的人性生活所成就的。
No Christian try to understand what the Lord has accomplished in his humanity. His incarnation was a big accomplishment. Bring the divinity into the humanity. And God and man mingle together as one.
那人性生活呢?
How about in his human living?
他成就了什么呢?
What does he accomplish?
可以说他的人性生活,
in his human living,
乃是啊,这个显出啊他人性的美德
is to express his human virtue
来彰显神的神圣属性
to express God's divine attributes
这是一个大的成就
this is a great accomplishment
从来没有一个人
never has ever a man
能够把神彰显出来
can express God
Hallelujah 他在地上他做了原型
on the earth he was the prototype
他说
he said
你们要跟随我的脚中行。
You follow my footsteps.
我给你们做了榜样。
I am become a pattern to you.
也就是说，他如何，我们也要如何。
Whatever he is, we should be.
在圣经里说，他是一粒麦子。
He is a grain.
要结出我们许多的籽粒。
We have many grains, become many grains.
那个许多的籽粒跟那个一粒都是一样的。
The many grains and the original one grain are the same.
那个独一的一粒是神性调人性。
The unique grain was divinity mingled with humanity.
许多的籽粒也是神性调人性。
So the many grains will be the divinity mingled with humanity.
他是啊，头一个神人。
He's the first God man.
我们是啊，众神人。
We are the many God man.
弟兄姊妹能领会吗
？Brother and sister, can you understand this?
这个实在说啊，这个照着李弟兄所讲啊，我们有时候都信不太来。
As Brother Lee mentioned earlier, it's hard for us to believe.
真的是这样吗
？Is that true?
如果不是这样
，If not so,
他为什么要将我们磨成神儿子的形象呢
？Why he want to conform us to the Son of God?
如果不是这样
，If not so,
他为什么要叫我们得荣耀呢
？Why he want us to gain the glory?
哦，亲爱的弟兄姊妹
，Oh dear brothers and sisters,
圣经是一本非常奇妙的书。
Bible is a wondrous, wondrous book.
神的经纶说出神的福音，有最高点。
Talking about the gospel, the highest point.
就是神成为人。
God became man.
使人要在生命和性情上成为神。
So man become God in life and nature.
就是因为神有他的这个计划。
Because God has His plan.
所以当他造人的时候
，So when He created man,
他是照着他的形象和样式造。
He was created man in His own image according to His own likeness.
也把人摆在生命树的跟前。
And place man in front of the tree
of life. 目的就是要人接受他做生命。
And the purpose for man to receive His life.
人堕落。
Man fell,
但是神爱世人
but God so loved the world,
差了他的独生子
He sent his own only begotten son
他是神成为人
His God became man
他有神圣的素质
He has divine essence
他也有属人的素质
He has human essence
在他神性与人性是调和在一起
In him divinity and humanity are mingled together
圣经开始我们看到的这第一个神人
The Bible we saw the first God man
末了要看见我们众神人
At the end we want to seeThe many God men.
我们将都是这些众神人。
We shall be these many God men.
愿神祝福我们。
When God,
请大家读一下最后一个小点。
So we read the final point, number D. Eventually, of Roman number four.
对，最后一个。
D. Eventually, God became a man.May we read it together. Eventually, God became a man, the God-man Jesus, and this God-man, through his death and resurrection, reproduced himself. Oh, am I?
不是啊,
sorry, I wrote it wrong.
念错了。
My bad. Roman numeral 4.
最后一个。一二三四,最后,阿拉伯数字。
We... Amen.
这个末了，我们请弟兄姊妹记住，这是主的仆人。
At the end, we want the brothers and sisters remember.
他读经七十多年来
，in his 70 years of reading the Bible.
最末了下的一个很简短的定义。
And he has a simple conclusion.
我们在基督里的信徒是神人。
We many God men in Christ are the God man.
是神的复制。
We are his reproduction.
这是神福音的最高点。
This is the highest point of God's gospel.
愿我们都进到这个最高点。
May we all enter into this highest point.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.